content, and citizen journalists will edit it for accuracy. The venture will be paid for with crowdfunding, and those who donate will be able to decide what types of news the site focuses on. Wiki Tribune will launch soon and may have stronger than expected connections to The Guardian, as Wales sits on Guardian Media Group's board of directors. What could possibly go wrong?
So you're talking about Wikipedia, the one where I can go on and make a Wikipedia page about you and write awful things?
What could possibly go wrong? We're going to have citizen journalists edit the work of real journalists, and the people who give us the most money are going to tell us what to cover. It's just like a real news organization, only nobody's getting paid.
It's a complete, but it
except
actually
except Jimmy Wales.
It's laughable.
It's hilarious.
It's Wikipedia trying to jump on the bandwagon that Facebook is, and Google, and Amazon, and all these toters of we're against fake news. And come on, it's a joke when you have Facebook coming out and saying completely against fake news. We hate it.
In a world where Rupert Murdoch can already buy the media coverage that he wants, which is why the New York Daily News even exists, do we really need an online site where a bunch of basement dwellers can buy online news coverage? The best thing that happens here is this whole thing gets taken over by train enthusiasts, and it turns into like the world's largest news source about trains, because we can't possibly screw that up. But no, I will not be getting my news from Wiki Tribune anytime soon. I'll stick to Glenn Greenwald, who actually has practiced journalism and knows what the heck he's doing. And by the way, anybody who thinks citizen journalists are in any way, shape, or form a solution for fake news is part of the problem and needs to step away from the news machinery.
Oh, yeah. Remember that time pre-election when everybody had their opinion on Facebook? Yeah, that's what it's going to be like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what citizen journalism does, kids. Have fun.
I'm going to say it's going to be a lot of people from the left. If I had to guess.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Rain. Rain.
Yeah. Rain. So depressing.
Rain. Not just rain, but guys, it's air conditioner weekend, so get ready. Coming up tonight, drizzle, fog, general damp, showers, lows of about 50 degrees. Tomorrow morning, fog, clouds all day, highs of about 60, might see some more showers. If you're one of the lucky people out in western Massachusetts, you may catch a glimpse of this thing known as the sun. If you're in eastern Massachusetts,
what is that?
Forget about it. Friday, rain, showers in the morning, less showers in the afternoon, but it's going to be unseasonably hot and humid. Temperatures rise into the upper 70s, might dance around 80 degrees, and only fall back to 60 degrees on Friday night with continued humidity, which means it's time to break out the air conditioners. If you somehow get through Friday and into Saturday, you're going to have even more incentive because, in addition to more showers, there will be more heat and humidity. Temperatures in the mid-70s, they do fall back into the upper 40s Saturday night. Sunday, clouds, but really not any rain. Clouds clear out.
It's good.
In the morning. Might see that thing called the sun in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-50s. Lows in the upper 40s Sunday night. Monday, rain. Showers. Highs about 60. Lows in the mid-50s. So.
Hey, I'm going to a Red Sox game on Sunday night.
So I'm going to a Red Sox game on Saturday. You're going to be in better shape than I am because that game on Saturday might get rained out.
Maybe we'll cross paths.
I don't think so. They're different days. We will be in the same seats.
Yes.
Go Cubbies. No, go Sox. Is that right?
Yeah.
The Cubs are in town this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, guys, this is the air conditioner weekend, so be ready for that. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week here on WMFO Medford?
Any time is a good time for broiling thick, juicy steaks, indoors or out. What kind of steaks? Tenderloin, porterhouse, T-bone, sirloin, or rib steaks. They're all naturally tender and excellent for broiling in the top USDA quality grades, prime, choice, and good. Prime is the top grade, and Choice is almost as high in quality. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He is Derek Gary, and I am Lisa Nichols. Here with you every Wednesday, 7 to 9. As always, we want you to be a part of the show, and you can do that by calling us at 855-915-9636. I actually almost said the old number. Again, that's 855-915-9636. Of course, it's time for Did You Hear, the part of the show where Derek and I quiz each other just to see all those other stories that happened during the week, because sometimes there's just too much news to cover.
Yeah. And sometimes it's really not worth an in-depth focus. It's more of a footnote. We just want to keep you up to date, abreast, as it were.
As always, I will start. Miami Marlins
Are now the property, assuming they can get the funding, which is no guarantee, but they are now the property of a group led by former New York Yankee Derek Jeter. He eats corn the long way. And former U.S. presidential candidate Jeb Bush.
What a pair.
Jeets and Jeb.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They noted the sale price as $1.3 billion, and Bush would be controlling owner with Jeter having a quote-unquote active role.
Yeah. By the way, 14 years ago, the current owner bought the team for $158 million.
Yeah. They're estimated right now at $940 million.
Yeah.
I actually just drove by the stadium a couple weeks ago.
Good money if you can get it. You're not flipping that for $10 billion. So you're not getting a 10x return this time out. Chobani.
The yogurt.
Yes.
That I eat.
Yes.
Ooh. I feel like I heard this story. Was this on Monday?
Yes.
They're recalling.
No.
That's shocking. That's actually good to know. I don't know.
They're suing Alex Jones and InfoWars after InfoWars posted a series of articles. Loosely connecting Chobani to the rape of a 5-year-old girl in Twin Falls, Idaho.
No, I did not hear this. Please elaborate.
And one of the lines in the story written by InfoWars accused Chobani of bringing, quote, crime and tuberculosis, end quote, to Twin Falls, Idaho. This comes on the heel of an extensive interview that the founder of Chobani did with 60 Minutes, where he talked about how he was hiring immigrants and how he was committed to hiring immigrants. So Alex Jones and his merry band get their hands on this, and they make the Chobani people had nothing at all to do with the rape, but by putting the rape alongside the story about Chobani, you leave it to your audience to make a non-existent connection, and then you say that they're importing crime and tuberculosis. Well, as a result of Alex Jones and his merry band, Boycott Chobani started trending on Twitter, and the Chobani people are not taking it lightly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're wondering why, the many reasons why the terrorists hate us, Alex Jones and InfoWars, and that, you know, the cabin in Arizona that he lives in, and sometimes comes out of his bunker.
Chobani may have a very, very clear-cut libel case here.
ESPN.
ESPN laid off about 100 on and behind the scenes staffers today as a result of their continuing decline. They were responsible for the 11, according to Disney, they were solely responsible for the 11% decline in cable revenues in the most recent quarter. Among those who are gone, Trent Dilfer. You might remember him from the NFL coverage. No more Trent Dilfer Dimes coming out on a number of other long-term radio and television hosts, including one of the Sports Center guys is out.
Yeah, a lot of them actually were announcing on Twitter and say Ed Werder, NFL, a Dallas-based reporter, he was like, so just found out I was laid off.
Yeah, Ed Werder's been there for 18 years, I think.
Yeah, since 1998, so yeah. Almost 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of 9 and 8 year veterans were shown the door in this, which is that's what you have to do to survive. And most of these people, I expect, are going to land on their feet in some other media organization. Mm-hmm. Trent Dilfer, I don't know. Golf ball parts.
Golf ball parts.
Yeah, this is actually. I think this may have been. Over the weekend, this one broke and caught my eye.
Of course you bring up things from the weekend. Golf ball parts.
It was
parts.
A quiet weekend overall, which would allow golf ball parts to stick out.
I don't know.
McCain Foods has recalled hash browns sold in 10 states under the Harris Teeter and Roundy's brand names.
You should always know you're going to do a recall somewhere.
They may contain golf ball parts.
Oh, good.
McCain's did not elaborate on how the golf ball parts got into the hash browns.
That would be my first question.
That's why I had to pull this one. This one almost made that's the thing that happened.
Is this a factory that is...
I gotta believe somebody was having some kind of a putting contest somewhere where they shouldn't have been.
The CEO having a, little...
Yeah.
Mini putting hole in his office.
Someone took the phrase...
Slammed through the
window. Putt for dough a little more literally than they should have, and the golf balls wound up in the hash browns. Do not eat the hash browns because the golf ball parts can tear your mouth apart.
Scott Brown
is going to be America's ambassador to New Zealand.
And?
Oh, is there more?
Yes,
New Zealand and New Guinea?
Nope. Samoa.
Oh, New Zealand and Samoa. In a move that truly reflects the importance of Scott Brown and the gravity of his experience, this is a...
Yeah, Samoa doesn't even essentially have a central government. This is why this is a country that was on the list of ban in the so-called Muslim ban, because there's not a lot going on there.
This is a cocktail ambassadorship.
Of course it is.
This is not... And the interesting thing about it is Scott Brown, he's a JAG, isn't he? He's a military lawyer. Is he a JAG or is he a JAG?
Yes.
Given that this guy has been a military lawyer, I would half expect if you're going to give him an ambassadorship, you're going to put him in one of those places where the CIA is having a little bit of fun. Because he's a guy that you can trust and he's a guy that knows what you can do.
You think?
That's where I'd put him. I'd put him in China. I'd put him in South Korea. I'd put him somewhere.
No, you're right. It's completely
somewhere where there's actual intelligence gathering.
Hey, there's this really small country. We don't do any dealings with it, but you are going to be the ambassador for it. Hey, New Zealand, something.
If we have any sheep problems, you're going to be the guy we call, Scott.
Yeah, Sauvignon Blanc, bringing that into the country.
Yeah,
we're good.
Yeah, lamb. We're
having. Make sure all those Stelvin twist. Cap on the wine bottles.
We have an issue with the lamb tariffs. Can you talk to our friends about this and find out what's happening with the next Lord of the Rings movie? Yeah. I mean, I'm not bagging on New Zealand because New Zealand is a great country that does amazing things. But Scott Brown strikes me as being one of the more capable people in the Republican Party. And I would expect that if you're going to make him an ambassador to something, you're going to put him in a place where he could actually do something strategic and meaningful. Maybe there's a lot of stuff running in and out of New Zealand that we don't know about. It's entirely possible that they're coordinating a lot of what's happening in the Pacific through New Zealand, because who would think to look there?
You know? You think our government's that smart?
The one thing I know is Caroline Kennedy up until recently was the ambassador to Japan. And Japan is a cocktail ambassadorship.
Yep.
Japan is absolutely trade negotiations, and they love us and we love them. And, you know, let's have another party at the ambassador's house. New Zealand.
Sending the sake over. We're good.
New Zealand strikes me as being the lowest impact. The population in New Zealand is about the same as the population of Rhode Island.
It's true.
And you got American Samoa. Like, nobody knows what's going
on.
Maybe
Trump's like, how can I make it not be a 24-hour flight to New Zealand? I'll put, like, a good man in charge. He can figure that out.
It's like the worst problem you're going to deal with in American Samoa is that an NFL scout gets a flat tire.
It's true.
And we gotta go send him a replacement tire. Because other than that, the only people in American Samoa are American Samoans. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much just want to be left alone unless you're waving an NFL contract in front of them. Mm-hmm. Kenny G. Mm. This is another one from the weekend.
Why have you not done things in the past couple days?
This came out on Monday. It happened on Sunday, but it was widely reported on Monday.
Kenny G, the musician, the man that my grandmother has a countless number of his cassettes. I have no idea.
Depends on your mood toward Kenny G. You might think this is the greatest thing ever. Well, in general, it's cool what he did, but you might see this as a nightmare. He serenaded passengers on a Delta flight from Tampa to Los Angeles with his saxophone.
Yes.
She brought on board.
I saw this on Facebook.
He did
of
this.
All places.
He basically said, guys, you donate $1,000 to Delta Airlines Relay for Life. I'll play some music for you. He raised $2,000 flying from Tampa to Los Angeles and played a lot of music. I can think of worse things than listening to Kenny G on a cross-country flight, to be honest with you.
It's true.
It's hell for Joel. Of On the Town. Joel's losing his mind. Like, Kenny, no. Joel's like reaching for the latch on the emergency exit and trying to jump off the plane.
Screaming.
Yeah, without a parachute. Like, make Kenny G stop. But.
All right, Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Oh, boy. This has been a big week for snack brands and food brands and things of that nature. Coca-Cola reported a decline in its sales. Came in 11% short on a year-over-year basis.
I don't have the exact
It was enough
numbers.
To significantly disappoint Wall Street amid a...
Yes, we're down 11%.
Amid
I hate you so much.
Shrinking demand for its products. But the interesting flip side of this, Pepsi actually posted year-over-year growth.
Mm-hmm.
So one of these companies has figured it out and the other one hasn't.
So there were actually two stories that you could have went... You pointed that out, but they're laying off 1,200 jobs, and this is a plan that is supposed to cut $800 million from the company. Again, sales were down 11%, profits fell 20%, and the other story was Coke is now adding fiber to their drinks.
Oh, goody.
And trying to convince people to buy soda again. So the soda will be called Coca-Cola Plus. With fiber. Yeah. Yep.
Are they buying a laxative company to go along with this? Because anyone who drinks a lot of caffeine will tell you that things get backed up down there.
Especially, and then add in fiber.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm right about this. A lot of caffeine, things get backed up down there. Now we're going to throw some fiber into the mix. Great. Great.
Yeah, it's like a...
Have a fistful of X-Lax with your next can of Coke. No, thank you. McDonald's.
Well, there are two stories. There is a social media war going on about their new uniform.
That's what I'm looking for.
And then also they are getting rid of one of their big ones.
I don't care what they're getting rid of. Can we talk about these stupid uniforms?
They're awful.
If you've seen the movie Logan's Run, you know what these things look like. They're basically all black. With gray bars, like on one of the shirts, there's a most of it's black, and then there's a gray front. They have gray pockets on black backgrounds, and they're going to be wearing these aprons that are the same shade of black as the shirts with a gray bar across the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
These have been unfavorably compared to the uniforms worn by the Empire in the movie Rogue One.
It's true.
And when you take a look at them, yeah, it's not too hard to see that, particularly when you mix in the gray hat. And all of the design on this is strikingly military in its inspiration. So you have these drab, dark gray, and light gray military cut uniforms coming soon to a McDonald's near you.
You know, the problems for McDonald's just continue.
McDonald's is...
Like changing the uniforms is not going to bring more people in making... We've talked about it on the show. People want to see what they're eating. People want to watch their food being cooked.
Yeah, but surprisingly, they're doing the whole like create your own sandwich thing around here now. Mm. And so they've made a lot of good moves lately. And one of the things that they've done... And they talked about this recently, is they've just gone back and embraced the idea that we are bad fast food, which is, in talking about their broader plans, I've been saying for the last couple of years, if you want to be that, go look at what Chipotle does, minus the E. coli. Go look at what Boston Market did, where all the food is in front of you. You have fresh ingredients in front of you. You can see it being made. Look at what Panera does. You know, Panera, you can't really see everything being made at Panera, but if you order a fresh sandwich at Panera, like someone is putting a fresh sandwich on a plate in front of you, and you know that they just made it because you're standing there. McDonald's has decided, finally, that, you know what, Wendy's had it right. Because Wendy's, through all of this, just said, we don't care. We sell hamburgers and french fries and milkshakes. Nobody's coming over here to eat healthy. We're putting bacon on everything. We're putting gravy on everything. We're putting sriracha on everything. We're coming out with poutine. We don't care. We don't care if it kills you tomorrow. This is what you love us for. And McDonald's has finally come around and realized that that should be their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves Burger King to continue its food stunts. With its chicken fries and whatever else they got going on over there.
It's just sad.
The hot dogs and the Yumbo and all the other stuff. But McDonald's is trying to get back to fundamentals. Generally, they've been on point. These uniforms are terrifying.
Yeah. Last one for you. Canadian Lumber.
Canadian Lumber is going to now come with a tariff for United States consumers because the border is heating up on a number of fronts between the Canadians and the United States, not just lumber, maple syrup, milk, cheese. The Canadians have been playing fast and loose with the rules for a number of years. Previous administrations let it go. Donald Trump is not going to, and he announced today that he's planning to do away with NAFTA. So our friend Justin Trudeau to the north may not be the friend that we think he is.
Yeah, President Trump has decided to impose a 24% tariff on Canadian lumber and all the things that you did mention.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been accusations for some time that they were deliberately pricing it below U.S. levels and costing, not in all parts of the country, but certainly around here, you're going to see a decent amount of Canadian lumber. Yeah. Canadians get a little shady in their business dealings, apparently. All right, last one for you. Couple of possibilities here. Nordstrom.
Nordstrom is charging, I believe it's $350 for $450.
Down a little bit. You're in the wheelhouse.
It's in that area.
$425.
For designer jeans that have fake mud spot on the butt.
Yeah, they have fake mud caked on the ass.
Another
and on the
this
front.
Is why the terrorists hate us.
This is absolutely a reason why the terrorists hate us. Because, yeah, there is fake mud on the jeans.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be some new distressed look that costs $425.
And I completely understand. I have bought clothes that have that distressed look, maybe have a rip in them intentionally. But just if you're listening, just Google it and look at the picture of the jeans. I don't know. I mean, is Kim Kardashian, like, is she wearing these now? Is that, like, the cool thing? I think I'm pretty, you know, in touch with the standards right now in fashion. I wouldn't wear these.
I have no idea what anybody is thinking
with
these.
Nor would I spend over $100 for a pair of jeans.
Well, that's...
Again, you know my stance on, I spend my money on food and good drinks.
Yeah.
I don't need fancy clothes.
That's probably, you know, I don't think I've ever spent $100 on a pair of jeans in my life. I don't think I've spent $50 on a pair of jeans in my life because you go to Marshall's and they're cheap. If I was going to spend that kind of money on a pair of jeans, it wouldn't have fake mud all over it. I don't know who the market is for this. I don't know who is supposed to be impressed by this. You know, for like $425, they should probably have dollar bills taped to the ass. And then you can really
just flaunt trail of them.
Yeah, flaunt the fact that you waste your money on stupid jeans. 855-915-WMFO. When we come back, Donald Trump's first 100 days in office. There's a big gap between what he did and what he did. And we're going to explain that in just a minute.
Hey, honey, what you trying to say? As I stand here, don't you walk. Edge of a night, and the world comes to an end.
international struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive All shelter today.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone?
Yeah,
okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
MFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols here with Derek Gary every Wednesday, 7 to 9, 855-915-9636. In tradition, through every administration, measuring a new president's success in the first 100 days. This has been going since, FDR in the 30s. And it's this string of accomplishments and what was supposedly promised to you in the election cycle, and this is something that we almost grade a president on. Donald Trump has just completed his first 100 days at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington. And some things have been done, some things haven't, some things have been promised.
We actually have audio of how Donald Trump described his first 100 days. Here we go.
광명성 3호 2호기 위성 발사 성공.
I don't know what it means, but it sounds really good. Sounds really good.
That was our friend from North Korea.
That was our North Korean news announcer friend, yes.
Yeah. She knows what's going on. She knows what's up.
We love her.
Mm-hmm. So it's so hard to even... People have said, even FDR, as much praise as he got for his first 100 days and doing all these things, it could never stand up
sure
to today's standards. And I guess when the first term of President Obama, he actually did get stuff done. But that was a time where both houses were democratically run.
I believe the phrase was, I have accomplished more in my first 100 days in office than any other administration in United States history.
Yes.
Is that I may be paraphrasing, but I'm not off by much.
No. Pretty close.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Huge changes in the United States of America.
Didn't he say 99 days?
Yeah. He was talking about his new war against human trafficking last night. So there you go. So here's what he's done. He has signed 28 bills since he took office.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually signed 29, but one of them was just a sort of waiver. to allow somebody to serve in the cabinet who ordinarily would not be able to serve in the cabinet. So it might have been Stephen Mnuchin. I don't know. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin. So of these 28 bills, three of them appointed citizen regents to the Smithsonian Institution. Two of them changed the names at VA health centers, including one in American Samoa, future home of Scott Brown. There is the Weather Research and Forecasting Act of 2017, which combines federal research with paid data from private companies to improve hurricane forecasting. Not bad. There was the act to extend the time frame of the Veterans Access Choice and Accountability Act, which basically allows veterans to seek care outside of the VA system if the VA system is inconvenient or delaying them too much. That's good. We like that. He signed an act to let your cable company sell your personal information to third parties. That's an achievement. Management of fish and wildlife resources in Alaska's federal wildlife refuges is back in Alaska's hands, not in the federal government's hands. He approved a memorial for operation, the location, not the actual memorial, but the location of a memorial for Operation Desert Storm. It's been 26 years. We should have this thing by now. They eliminated stream buffers, for wetlands near mining sites, so mining spill-off can now go into the streams. States are no longer limited to drug testing, unemployment applicants who work in fields that require drug testing. They can now drug test everyone, which is a violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. He established National Vietnam War Veterans Day on March 29th, gave NASA $19.5 billion for space exploration. He made it easier for the Government Accountability Office to sue other federal agencies, particularly the Social Security Administration, when they don't hand over information. And he signed something that is supposed to help women get STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math contracts from the federal government. Having read the bill, it doesn't actually do anything. It's one of those pieces of legislation that they can wave around and say, look, we care about women.
We care about the women.
Yeah, and some female-owned business somewhere is going to get one contract more than all female businesses would have got without this piece of legislation. So that's the legislative achievements. Big yips. and really, not much of a win for anybody in any of this. None of this is good.
How about that mining spill-off?
Then you got the executive orders. Mm-hmm. Two attempts to keep people from six Muslim-majority nations out of the United States, both held up in the courts. The Hire American, Buy American order, which does nothing other than require the use of U.S. steel in public works projects immediately. He dropped the Moab on Afghanistan. I think we all agree that was a long overdue move. And he hucked a bunch of tomahawks at Syria to stop them from dropping chemical weapons on their own people, which they haven't done since the Tomahawk bombing. So that may be another victory. The one thing that he's really done...
Supreme Court Justice?
Is Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch.
Yes.
That is an achievement.
As much as the other side, we like to call him,
yeah,
trying to stop this from happening.
But that is an actual straight-up achievement. Yes. He did that.
Yes. Which I think it was a good fit.
Sure. I don't know that that's more than any other president has achieved in the first 100 days in office. It doesn't seem like it is.
But here's the thing. We talk about completed achievements. There's a lot in the works. There's a lot of things that are happening. There's a lot of things that you cannot judge. It's this unrealistic boundary or end line at 100 days. There are countless things that are going on currently with immigration. There are countless number of things that are currently going on with, yes, making America great again, in the sense of, we talk about how many millions of Americans had those questions during the election. Where did my job go? How do I raise my family? What is going on in the world?
How many hats did FDR sell in his first 100 days in office?
There are things in the works. Do I still have some sort of hope that, and I really don't know what I think the country should be or what, there are things that I hope that are changed and why I voted the way that I did, but there are things that will be coming that I hope are coming. And you can't judge them in this short period of time.
What we've been hearing out of the media in the last few days is, you know, Donald Trump comes out and says, I've achieved more in my first 100 days than anybody else. And what do they keep doing? They keep going back to the legislative record. That's all they've done. No matter who you look at, CNN, Fox, Drudge, New York Times, Washington Post, everybody keeps dredging up the legislative record. Oh, look, no, he didn't really do anything.
Well, no, they're looking for something that has a bow on it and it's tied, right. Not that actual getting the wheels moving.
He failed to get health care reform passed. They're all waving their fingers about that one.
We're working on that one.
That is the basis of the gap between what Donald Trump did in his first 100 days and what Donald Trump did in his first 100 days. Because what Donald Trump did, actually, in his first 100 days is shake up the entire Washington culture. One of the first things he did in office was to say, for every new rule that you write, you got to get rid of two. Every federal agency is operating under that guideline now. He suspended all federal funding except for the military, gave the military their money back. All civilian agencies have had their funding frozen. That has created profound shifts in the ways that they are looking at their budgets, and the way that they're looking at their hiring, and the way that they're looking at their expansion. There is a lot going on that front. So he has changed the regulatory attitude in Washington. He has changed the spending attitude in Washington. And according to numerous sources, cross-border immigration from Mexico is down by 90%. Since he took office. This, by the way, is the time of year when immigration typically re-begins in earnest in this country. Hasn't happened yet. So what did he do in his first 100 days in office? Fundamentally changed the way that Washington approaches things.
Mm-hmm. But this is what you would expect. Or I don't even know if Washington did expect this. But this is what happens when you have a man that becomes a president that has no political background.
Correct.
That is a businessman. And how many times on this show have we sat here and said, there is no way that you cannot defend what he is doing. And one of the biggest things is saying, buy American and use American.
Well, I can find fault
senses.
With a lot of what's going on around here. You know, there are things that they're doing that I'm like, yeah, don't do that. That's
no,
not,
and how many
no one
times,
asked for that.
Look at the people that he's including in his inner circle. There's head scratchers. And I think that's one piece that is missing in Washington, because it's almost like this chaotic mess that's happening at the White House where you don't have people. And I do believe that he's starting to realize that's one thing that you can't do in Washington to run like a business. There are standards that you have to have. There's experience that you need to have.
Correct.
With the people around you.
And if we're going to measure it strictly by how many pieces of legislation did you pass? How many bills that affect everybody's daily lives got passed? The answer is no. But that's not the measurement here. The measurement is the attitude in Washington, and the measurement is the way the federal government is thinking about itself has changed profoundly. And I can tell you from experience, because I represent a company that does federal work, the entire attitude toward federal contracting has changed. American companies are excited because they see opportunities that they haven't seen in a decade under this president. Where they're going to be able to go in and bid on contracts and win contracts and create American jobs. And we're going to see a larger shift toward privatization of not all functionality of our federal government, but a lot of things that they don't necessarily need to do that private enterprise can do more efficiently, like run power systems, like run their IT. That's a big part of what's every federal agency is evaluating its spending right now to figure out, what do we really need to do? What are our core functions? Where previous administrations just lobbed money at them and said, have a good time.
That's always how it was.
These are the other thing that has been sort of a consistent theme, and even today with the story that came out about a reevaluation of the National Monument process. Where do the states' rights end and the federal government rights begin? And President Trump seems to have a very clear line in mind in that the states' rights are everything. This is why Alaska gets to manage their wildlife reserves again. the National Monument story, which you might have heard about today, really comes down to a couple of parks in Utah that the federal government took away from the people of Utah over the objections of the people of Utah. Because the federal government didn't want development there. Utah did. And there may be a happy medium there where you can get some development and preserve the rare stone structure that you've got. Maybe you can't. Maybe. See, but Trump's position is the federal government should not be walking into a state and saying, oh, you guys oppose this? Well, I think it's a good idea, so you're going to do what I say.
See, I feel like it's almost more difficult with Republicans in office, and depending what is up to federal government and what is up to the state. Because there have been so many issues that we say, leave it up to the state, leave it up to the state, regardless of I'm talking about gay rights, abortion, all those hot button topics, marijuana being one. And there's so many things that now can be repealed because they were passed statewide, but now they become federal law. And I find like you have more problems with Republicans and Republican run.
It's, well, at the federal level, it's about kicking it down to the state level. At the state level, it's about, it depends on what state you're in. You know, for every Texas that wants to ban abortion, you got a state like Washington that's like, hey, everybody come in and get
one. Keep going to Washington.
Yeah. So that needs to be, there are things that we can't trust the states to do. But the overall position of the Trump administration appears to be, we're at least going to give the states a chance. We're going to let them try. And by the time the states screw it up, you'll probably have a Democrat in the White House taking that power back for the federal government.
And you have to take into consideration the state of media right now. And they're not very kind to any movement.
Just putting it nicely.
That is happening with this administration. So they're combating that. So realistically, you can't even look at favorability polls. You can't look at these numbers because mainstream media is orchestrating how the average person thinks. Well, but it's so unfortunate.
This is why the message has been, look at how much legislation he passed.
Exactly.
And measuring it against legislation that FDR
they want
passed
something
the height of the Great Depression.
Completely. And as I said, if FDR was in the state that we are in now, that would never happen. He would never get the praises in today's day and age.
FDR still had prohibition to undo when he was elected. Okay. Donald Trump, if we're throwing legislation down and measuring who signed the most pieces of paper, no.
Of course.
And Donald Trump did not achieve more than any other president.
One of his
the overall
unlikable
claim,
qualities, though.
The overall claim, by the way, is the sort of chest-beating narcissism that we're going to have to live with for the next 4 years, because that's who Donald Trump is.
I was going to say, one of his unlikable parts of him is that, look what I did, I'm the best. It's something that you just have to understand and accept, and don't go by what he says. And people may say, like, how can you say that about a president? His image, I don't care what you're going to say. I don't need you to be my friend. I need you to be my president and protect this country. Do what is best for this country.
In terms of the first 100 days, he's done a heck of a lot more than most people realize. And if you take a look around and you see the protests, or you see the people organizing online, or you see changes in federal budgets and federal budget planning, you may start to realize just how much of an impact he's had. It has been massive. 855-915-9636, the most of any administration's first 100 days, no, but a lot bigger than the mainstream media is telling you. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Do you remember how sweet it used to be? I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar.
One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends.
I was having fun with my friends.
I had one too many drinks.
I had one too many drinks.
I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road.
And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road.
It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
It happened so quickly, the cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
WMFO Medford, this is The Big Picture, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. This was something that I covered last year. It was kind of coming into imagination on April 30th. The launch of Tapped Beer Truck is going to happen. So this is coming from, and we're here at the Chubby Chickpea food truck and the author of Single Guy Cookbook. He's came up with this concept. It is going to provide beers from Trillium, so many, Notch, Treehouse. Really, really good beers. Like, you're going to have to drive 2.5 hours out to Western Mass to get Treehouse. This guy is going to bring it in a, I don't know how they're going to do it. You can hire it for private parties. I'm sure a lot of restaurants are going to start doing it if they have an outdoor area. Awesome. So keep a look for that. It's going to be called Tapped. And you can go to their website and find out where they're going to be.
I hope they're not selling it below wholesale.
I hate you.
What's their website? You know this by now. What's their website?
Tapped.com.
Tapped.com. So, here we go. Tomorrow is draft day for the NFL, which means the 2017 NFL season is starting. You may not care because the Pats don't have a draft pick until round 3. We traded our first round draft pick for wide receiver Brandon Cooks. Yeah, okay. Maybe a senior moment for Belichick. We'll find out. But if you're one of those people who doesn't care, doesn't like the draft, doesn't understand the draft, I got a great movie that I want you to watch tomorrow. It is called Draft Day, starring Kevin Costner. Came out in 2014. Costner plays the GM of the Cleveland Browns, the biggest laughingstock in professional football, and has to balance the demands of Draft Day against a pregnant girlfriend, a mother who is losing her mind, a quarterback who is concerned that he's being edged out of the team, all the problems you could possibly imagine. This was directed by Ivan Reitman, the guy that did Ghostbusters, the guy that did Animal House. It's got Frank Langella in it. It's got Ellen Burstyn in it. It's got Jennifer Garner in it. It is a fun, great movie. And as an added bonus, you will not have to watch a lot of John Gruden. There's a little bit of John Gruden in it, but just a cameo, so you can get through it.
Everybody loves that face.
And you may get...
He looks like Chucky.
You may get a new appreciation for draft day.
We end the show every week with that thing that happened, the craziest story from this week's news. South Dakota. South Dakota man was arrested yesterday afternoon after he pushed past police and firefighters so he could save his beer inside an apartment building that was on fire. Michael Castile, 56, was collared outside his home, a multifamily residence in Sioux Falls. As emergency workers were treating other building residents for injuries, Castile, cops said, persisted in trying to get into the building to retrieve beer from his apartment. Castile succeeded in returning to his home, where he grabbed 2 cans of Bud Ice Premium, cops said. Upon exiting the building with the cans in hand, Castile was arrested for ill-advised beer run. A police spokesperson charitably described Castile's devotion to his sons as, quote-unquote, poor judgment. Along the laundry list of prior convictions, DUI and DUI, and open container laws included in his rap sheet.
This is a guy who really loves his beer. I mean,
that Bud Light Premium, you know.
You put it in the same category as a pet for the rest of us. And would we arrest anyone for rushing into their home?
Another story that Lisa would do.
To save a pet. I don't know what this guy is thinking, honestly. Pennsylvania. When the cops show up, a check on your dog. 44-year-old Thomas Bladell was arrested outside a home in the Pittsburgh suburbs after he smashed his SUV into a telephone pole. A bottle of Smirnoff that Bladell had been enjoying fell from his lap and dripped into the SUV's center console, prompting his Chihuahua, Maxwell, to start drinking it. Maxwell was rushed to a vet where he was reported to be stumbling and to have dilated pupils. An animal cruelty charge was added to Bladell's list of offenses, as was a charge of making terroristic threats due to Bladell yelling phrases such as monkey dicks while on his way to jail. Poor performance all around, Mr. Bladell. I got to raise a legal question about this, however, because I think if you're drunk driving and you spill your drink and your dog drinks it after you've been in an accident, you can't be held responsible for that, can you?
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling this charge is going to get thrown out.
I mean, they have cat wine now.
It's
so.
Just so.
He was keeping his animal hydrated.
Something to keep in mind. The Chihuahua got drunk and he was calling people monkey dicks, and that's how it ends for Mr. Bladell. And that is, for the most part, how it ends for us tonight. We'll be back next week at the usual time. On the Tell Mikey D is coming up next. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Stick around for that. Don't forget to check out Time Travel with Chris Earle. I said keep it tight, and we actually, did. For
right.
Once. Usually I say keep it tight, and Lucid talks for 7 minutes and then gives me 30 seconds to wrap everything up as the clock is ticking over.
I just avoid our listeners having to hear you talk about Legos.
You didn't. I didn't talk about Legos. I'll talk about Legos next week because there's going to be exciting Lego stuff happening.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So until then.
You keep me on the edge of my seat every week.
we love the Legos around here, and it's the last circus ever next weekend. Providence Civic Center. Go see if you can get tickets. See the circus one last time. Until then, Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely, as always.
And I am Derek Gary. Until next week, stay safe, everybody.
I think we got it now. Get a power increase, and we should get a better release. Everybody would hear us then.